Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hello, Steven. Esteban.
How are you?
Doing better. You sound better. Your audio sounds a little bit better. Still sounds a bit tinny, but you sound better.
Excellent. Good. Then we're in business. My transition plan seems to have worked.
Your transition plan.
Yes.
You say that, but the thing is that my job, I deal with things actually called transition plans. So
it's like,
got a little bit of a nervous tick when you said that.
I'll say, did you twitch?
A little bit, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but I don't know if tinny is the right word. I just like saying tinny if it sounds like it's got a little bit of metallic in it, but I don't know if that's the actual use of the word tinny.
Speaking of metallic, the robot rock is over.
It's one of those things where it's like everybody gets upset when like it's over, like when people are like quitting, and it's like you've never once in your life expressed that you've liked Daft Punk. Like, where is this coming from?
I have.
And not you in particular. I'm talking other people, the general populace.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they're one of those things where they're like, they're one of those zeitgeist isn't the right word. They're like ingrained in the culture.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Yeah.
So people just expect them to just always kind of exist. So they don't talk about them because it's like, yeah, everyone knows Daft Punk. There's no possible way that you haven't heard and enjoyed a Daft Punk song at some point. Just no way.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, just like the legend of the penis. Like there's, you know, that's
legend of the penis.
Yes. That is like, you know, if nothing else, you've probably enjoyed that meme.
I don't know that meme, so, but I do, I, you know,
Well, you immediately understood what it was, even without knowing the meme.
Yeah. Cause I've been listening to Daft Punk, like, cause of just like memories and not just the album Random Access Memories, but the actual, like, just listening. And I gotta say, they're about 50-50. I gotta say,
yes, yeah. I absolutely agree with that. They have some songs that I'm just like, I don't care for this, and then they have some songs where I'm just like, this is a fucking banger.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's it. Like the entire Tron soundtrack is really good, but
yes,
it's a soundtrack. Good. It's not really an album, so
right.
It's like it's one of those things that I could see like people who are just not into soundtracks being like, this is really boring. But it does have some good, it does have a good beat to it. So it's got a little bit of a, like, if you're going into like a vampire rave, that's the soundtrack that you'd like to hear in the background as you're killing the vampires.
I get you. I'd go for the, I want the Quake, the original Quake soundtrack.
That would work as well. And I don't think it's got it doesn't have that, like, it's hard to explain, but it's like, it's the thumping beat that I need to killing vampires.
I get you.
Because there's a rhythm to it. It's like when you're playing Arkham Asylum, you got to get that rhythm to your fight.
Yes, it's Dance Dance Batman.
Exactly. You threw me off with the, you know, the Daft Punk. It's like another thing is it's like they haven't put out an album for 8 years. It's been 8 years since they put out anything. They put out a new song and they're like, we're calling it quits.
Random Access Memories is really 8 years ago?
No. Their last one was
because Random Access Memories was their most recent album, isn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Let me see. Was it?
That was.
It was eight years ago. I know that. Random Access Memories was 8 years ago.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That's really?
Yeah. It was 2013, dude. My kid was one when it came out.
Holy shit. So like, wow, fucking A, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And The Weeknd is popular now. So think about that. Because The Weeknd, he's got two tracks on that album,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Or at least one. Yeah. And like, you know, because that album was like all collabs. And then of course the other meme that's come out with that album is my name is Giovanni Giorgio, but you can call me Giorgio. that's another meme that's come out of that album. But wow, holy fuck, I can't believe that it's been that long.
Well, dude, Discovery's 20 years old.
Oh yeah, I mean they've been around for a fucking crazy long time. And that's what I was saying. It's just like it's one of those things where like they become part of the tapestry of existence.
Well, you're one of the few people that I could talk about this with, and probably some of our listeners would understand as well, that like Discovery was at the forefront of memery on the internet. Like original memes featured Daft Punk.
Yes. Like, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger was one of the biggest memes like out there.
Yeah, in like the early 2000s, like 2006, 2005, mid 2000s, I should say.
Yeah,
but they were 100%. They were early beamers, or were at least used in early beams.
Yeah, lots of flash animations and stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I miss those days. Those heady days when 4chan was funny and not disturbing.
Yes. Well, it was slightly disturbing.
Well,
extremely disturbing.
Not like in a I'm going to storm the Capitol kind of way.
As I said, it was slightly disturbing in like a in an esoteric way.
Yes. I got to tell you, I got really excited when, who was it? Was it Italian movie horror guy, Argento. Dario Argento said that like, oh, Daft Punk's going to score my new album and my new movie. And I was like, ooh, this could be good. And then it turns out it was completely fake. Like he just kind of said that hoping Daft Punk would be like, ooh, we'll do this.
That's awesome.
But I don't understand why Daft Punk like quit when they could have just franchised themselves. Like no one knows what they look like. They could just give the two helmets to anybody. And like
that's true. But well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some deeper meaning to the fact that only one of them exploded in the video.
I guess maybe. I mean, like, even so, like, even if that guy wanted to quit, like, just give the helmet to someone else and they could just, and like, it doesn't matter. It's not like anybody, like, as long as it's just like.
Yes. Hey, you never know. Maybe the other robot will come back with someone else and it'll be not Daft Punk.
Daft Punk 2.0.
It'll be Infected Mushroom Punk. They'll get some of the guys from Infected Mushroom and Daft Punk together and make a new band. Infected Punk.
That might work. And it will be, and you know what? We'll listen to the new album and be like, it's about 50-50.
Yeah, I feel very much the same way about Infected Mushroom as I do feel about Daft Punk, where like Infected Mushroom has some fucking great tracks, like really good. And then they have some absolute just ass
garbage.
Yeah. Although I will say I think their album Return to the Sauce, Infected Mushroom's album Return to the Sauce, I feel that that might be one that is straight up just like the whole album's good. Is not normally the case for Infected Mushroom. Usually there's quite a few. Like I said, they're about 50-50. But that one album, Infected Mushroom Return to the Sauce, is very good.
You know, I'll have to give it I don't necessarily know if I've listened to an entire album by them. I know the name. I've probably listened to a lot of their songs, but I don't, you know, it's not one that I've been like, you know what I need to listen to? Infected Mushroom.
Right. Well, they're another band that's just like they've been around for like ludicrous length of time.
Man. All right. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me as always is my co-host, Esteban.
Welcome to Audiophiles. I am your host, Bill, and this is my co-host, Phil. Phil, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Bill. Today on the cast, we're going to be talking to the author of A Million Little Pieces, Jonathan Franzen. And
in addition, we had a
what you're doing, but that's my NPR voice.
Yeah, it was fine. It was great. We did it.
Yeah. One of the things that I do not miss about terrestrial radio is listening to NPR on the regular, because I couldn't find a station that I really enjoyed listening to on my way home from work. So I'd listen to just the news on NPR, and it's like, you know what? I'm kind of glad I don't have to listen to this anymore.
Yeah, I never listened to the radio. I hated the radio. Oh, actually, I take that back. I did listen to the radio in a very small fraction of time when I had satellite radio. I would listen to the
Howard Stern reruns?
No, fuck no. I would listen to the radio drama channel.
Show us your vagina.
No, I would listen to the radio drama channel. It would be like, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And like, you know, I'd be hearing about like, she had dams from here to next week.
So yeah.
I did enjoy that. And then there was like an absolute just like absurd amount of Westerns, like Gunsmoke. That was a radio play. And then some Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, I love that shit. That shit was dope. So that was the most radio I ever listened to, was in that short period of time where I had a car with satellite radio and I listened to nothing but radio dramas.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. Since I've been doing a Star Wars RPG on the reg, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go back and listen to some of those old Bantam Del Rey audio books that they had from back in the day, you know, like the Zahn trilogy and shit like that. You ever read those?
I read the Zahn trilogy a long time ago, and I remember really, really liking it. And then I think I tried to reread it a lot more recently, and I was like, these are kind of bad.
They're not great. I remember I've been listening to, because they did a redux for the 25th anniversary of the books, or 30th mm-hmm. anniversary, whatever it was. Because God, it's been about 30 years. Those books came out in early 90s.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those things where I was so hungry for more Star Wars, and they were like the first big thing that came out of Star Wars. Like, they were the legit first big thing that had come out of Star Wars in a long time, because they were like the only like Star Wars thing that people were actually talking about. They're like, dude, have you read the Thrawn trilogy? It's too weird. And I will say, I do think Grand Admiral Thrawn is a very compelling character, regardless of the book being kind of like, eh.
I like the idea of, like, his idea is very compelling as opposed to the character.
That's what I mean. His character concept.
The character is very, he's not Mary Sue, but he's very much like, haha, I'm the greatest villain of all time. I'm outthinking my opponents by, you know, like, he's like that. He's kind of like that traditional villain.
Yes.
I think his story is compelling in the fact that there's like, he's an alien in the Empire, and the Empire is very xenophobic. And so they don't normally allow aliens to be in the, you know, the, as an officer, let alone the Grand Admiral. I think that's interesting about him.
That's what I'm saying. It's a very cool, like, the concept of the character is very, very cool. Yes. And then I also like that he is one of the few like Imperials that isn't like, it's like him and fucking Veers are like the only two Imperials who aren't incompetent idiots.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, you got Veers who like fucking crushes the rebellion on Hoth, and you got Thrawn. Every other one of your commanders is a fucking moron.
Yeah. Well, but Veers wasn't an admiral. Veers wasn't in the Navy. He was an army guy. He was a general.
True. But I mean, I meant like in terms of command.
Yeah.
Like,
well, we don't know. Yeah. But we never really saw Imperial ground forces in most of Star Wars. Most of the time, it was we only saw the Navy.
Whoever was in charge of fucking Endor got their asses whooped by a bunch of fucking Muppets.
Yeah, but that was like probably the Imperial National Guard or something. Like, it was like, you know, a bunch of guys who, this is like their weekend. They have to go guard a fucking installation on Endor. They mostly spend it drinking, driving around on their speeder bikes.
See, you know, I would agree with that, except for the fact that they were literally the point guard of the most expensive, most ludicrously important Empire asset, which was the new Death Star. So yeah. I have to disagree with that. I think those were supposed to be elite troops.
No, I'm gonna disagree. I believe that they were trying to get it fast. I mean, like, it's the Kevin Smith Clerks argument. The Death Star 2 was assembled in secret fast. Like, they didn't have time to get like set it all up like in the normal channels. They got everyone they could to do this.
I think the specific issue I have with that, and I would agree with it, except for one thing.
It's Kevin Smith.
Palpatine is there, and I do not believe that Palpatine would allow him to be like, you know, so personally vulnerable, because he'd be like, no, I want my best bitches like on that fucking planet. Mm. Like, if Palpatine wasn't there, I would agree with you. Like, maybe like some fucking Imperial bureaucrat just like was like, well, I don't know, put the D team on it because like they're the closest and they're the cheapest.
They didn't know Palpatine was going to be there. That was like a last minute thing. Remember at the beginning when
he's the overboss of the Empire, so like he would be the one shot calling it. So like, even
yeah, but I mean, like, remember when Grand Moff Jajarzad is like, he's sitting there and he's like, you could tell it to the Emperor himself when he arrives, and he's like, the Emperor's fucking coming. Oh shit!
Right, that's true. No. I'm not saying that the peons didn't know, but the Emperor obviously knew he was coming there. So yeah, the Emperor would have been like issued. He would have issued orders to be like, make sure there's fucking like actual security because I'm fucking coming.
You know what I mean? I disagree. I don't think he would necessarily, I don't think he's that into the minutiae. I think he's more of like he's like an average.
You think he's
war
a Steve
gamer.
Jobs? You think he's a Steve Jobs?
No, well, he's like
big a picture
Steve
guy.
Jobs. No, I think he's like a war gamer where he's more like, I'm going to play with my toys and have them fight each other. And they're like, okay, but here's a game that deals with like logistics and supply lines. He's like, nah, I don't want to play that game. I want to roll the dice and shoot my lasers.
I see. So you're saying that it's just, he's just like, so he's so removed from like the realities of existence. He's just like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it is. I think he's like, you know, you got to remember like, what's the Empire's been around for 20 years at this point. Like, he's like, you know what? I think everything's kind of like settled into the way that it's supposed to be run. You know, I may not have the best people. Like, I think I have the best people in charge, like at least the best people that I have available in charge. Like, I think everything can run itself at this point. And so like,
I see.
So like when they're doing the Death Star 2, Kevin Smith's whole thing is that they're trying to get it done fast and they're trying to get it done in secret. So the rebels don't attack and they're vulnerable. So what do? They hire, he says that they just hire everybody to get it all fucking done as soon as possible. Does a stormtrooper know how to install a toilet main?
A toilet main. Yes. That's the iconic line.
Yeah. So he, you know, they get it all done. They get it done super fast. So, you know, they're getting like, they probably have a bunch of stormtroopers on the Death Star, like helping out, like, dude, move this over here. And, you know, like, let's get these shingles put on. Let's do this like easy jobs. So like those people are probably up doing like that stuff. Like the people down on Endor are mostly just scrubs. Like they think that they got like, they have a fucking shield around the fucking Endor. Everything was set. In fact, the only reason why the rebels even got onto Endor was because Vader kind of let them, because he knew Luke was there. And he was like, don't worry, these scrubs will be able to take care of it. I'm going to turn Luke. It'll be fine.
Oh yeah. Cause he let the shuttlecraft land.
Yeah. So I think like the Endor dudes are just literally fucking the Imperial Guards, not the Imperial Guards, the Empire's National Guard, like the weekend guys,
the back burner team.
Yeah, the back burner team. Like I'm not saying that
the guys who you have, if you have to deploy them in like a serious thing, you're like in trouble because they're like not supposed to generally do
that. Yeah, they're not supposed to be doing that shit. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. It. These are the guys who are like, National Guard is going to pay for my college. All I have to do is one weekend a month, you know, fucking guarding an ammo dump.
Yeah. Like deploying them means that there's a problem.
Yes, exactly. And it's like they were just deployed because most of the, like the real stormtroopers are up on the Death Star, you know, handling that sort of shit.
I get what you're saying.
And yeah, and you got to remember, there's like a fuck ton of Star Destroyers being hidden because like the Emperor knew that the rebels were going to attack. So, right. So he was like,
and then of course, I mean, let's also not discredit. We have the ultimate reply to all of this, which is, but the power of myth.
Well, and I bring up like the audio, because you were talking about audio dramas. And so this 30th anniversary audiobook of Heir to the Empire is done in an audio drama kind of way with sound effects. And like, you know, the guys, of course, the guy does all the voices and everything like that. And cool. I really, really wish that they, when they would do something like that, they would get a female reader just to at least do the female dialogue, right?
Yes.
So if someone's doing Leia on an like this special audio drama way, get a woman to read for Leia or Mara Jade.
If it's an audio drama, I don't want one person doing all the voices.
Exactly. And it really takes me out when this guy's doing an impression of Han Solo. He kind of does this impression of Han Solo like this.
Yeah, there's apparently a fully voice casted Lord of the Rings abridged novelization where like there's a narrator and then every character is a different actor, which I really want to track down because that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it's abridged, which is that's a shame, but like I mean it's a fully fucking voice acted Lord of the Rings, like that sounds fucking dope as shit.
Yeah, hopefully they just cut Tom Bombadil.
It's abridged, so like he's generally the first thing cut, so yeah.
I
actually like Tom Bombadil as a character. I just think
I
just think it's so odd how he seems like a character that should have been in The Hobbit and then is in Lord of the Rings.
Well, and it's also a reason why Tolkien needs an editor, like a good editor who knows how to tell people this needs to go.
But you know, all I can tell you is that if Tolkien were alive today, he'd look at your complaints about Tom Bombadil and he'd say, "But the power of myth."
Well, and this audio drama for the Star Wars book, I don't know. Remember if you remember Talon Card? He was like a Han Solo smuggler type. Like,
no, you know. I only remember Dash Rendar as the bootleg Han Solo.
I love Dash Rendar. Dash Rendar is a National Guard Han Solo drinking beer.
He's fucking bootleg Han Solo, straight up.
But the Talon Card, he's kind of like a Lando Han Solo character in the book, and but his character in the audio drama, he talks like this throughout the entire audio drama. He's like, Admiral Thrawn.
He sounds like Renego Montoya.
No, he sounds like Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban, very good.
Yes, and he's. I'm just like throughout the entire thing. I'm just like, holy shit, when my character dies in the Star Wars RPG, my next guy is totally going to sound like Ricardo Montalban throughout the entire thing.
Just going to be Khan.
Yes, exactly. Like, no, I've been, so when I'm coming up with a new RPG character, I tend to like to base them off pop culture characters and just kind of put them into Star Wars, because that's what Star Wars does anyway. In a lot of those books, they just take like a popular pop culture character and they just make him into the Star Wars universe. So like I'm thinking like maybe do like a Ricardo Montalban some character, or I was actually thinking of doing a kind of Alan Alda robot doctor from MASH, like a droid who's like a medical doctor, but he's constantly getting drunk. Like,
I like it.
Like Alan Alda from MASH.
I like it. So he's going to be doing the thing that Bender does, where he jacks on.
Kind of. It's more like he's sitting there and he's talking about like he was a robot during the Clone Wars. He's a droid robot, a droid medic from the Clone Wars. So all he talks about, like, just like in MASH, is like, it's a senseless war, a senseless war. And then he's like, look at this joke I'm playing on the other doctors. They're like, dude, there's people dying around you.
Nobody cares. They're dying. They were clones.
They're clones. All right. So let's get into some gaming stuff, shall we?
Sure. Is there gaming stuff? I don't know. I mean, I've got some gaming stuff.
I have some gaming stuff as well. I wanted to talk about a couple Kickstarters that I've backed recently.
You do that, and then I'll lay out the big guns after the Kickstarter.
Yes, because we do have the big news, which is kind of like everyone going, what?
Yes.
So, you know, I've been doing 3D printing for a while. I know a couple people have messaged me about 3D printing, just asking about, you know, basic stuff like what do you use for this, what do you do for that,
which material is the softest for the butthole insertion.
Yes. But I did want to talk about just a couple of Kickstarters that I've backed lately that are mini based Kickstarters. One that I backed is called The Minds of Masnar. It is literally done. It's done by the same company I kind of mentioned on the podcast before, the guys who did the Printing Goes Ever On, which is the Lord of the Rings one.
Yes.
It's a Minds of Moria Kickstarter. So you get all of these things that are kind of like, or that are very Tolkien-esque. You get a Watcher in the Dark, you get spiders, bats, goblins, trolls, warg riders, dead dwarves. And you get the scenery too, like you get Balin's tomb, a bunch of really cool columns. And it really comes with a fucking fantastic bridge that you can use for Gandalf's fight against the Balrog.
Nice.
It's a really, really nice Kickstarter all in one. And what I like about it too is that it doesn't go too fancy with the terrain. Like sometimes these Kickstarters for a lot of the terrain or terrain Kickstarters, they tend to go a little crazy and you're like, this will take me fucking weeks to print, like just one piece, because it's so huge or complex and it's got, you waste all of this material on supports and everything else like that. But this one looks really, really simple. And everything looks super pretty. The Balrog is the one weak point in the entire thing, but it's like the one thing that I just don't care that much about. So
I mean, also, I mean, let's you know, we don't need to mince words in here. If you want a Balrog, just buy a GW one.
Yeah, the GW one is much, much better.
Just buy the GW plastic Balrog. It's great. Like, you don't need an alternative model.
Yeah, and plus there are a lot of good alternative Balrogs already out there. But also everything else in this Kickstarter, it's Minds of Masnar. Highly recommend. It's kind of cheap too. I think it's for the core set and everything, I think it's only like $30.
They called it a mine. Yeah. A mine.
So I mean, for $30, I think it's an easy buy-in.
Special shout out to Gimli. I almost forgot about this. This is something I've been wanting to mention, because every time we bring up Lord of the Rings, I keep forgetting to mention it, because it's something I noticed like a little bit ago, and I was just like, I never thought about it this way. I was like, holy shit. I was like, you know how like the ring is like really temptatious to like everyone, and like the whole like concept of like dwarves having like the gold sickness on top of that, so they're like extra susceptible to the like tempting effects of, you know, the various like cursed objects, I guess, in Tolkien. I mean, how dope is it that like Gimli's literally just like, fuck it, let's fucking try and break it immediately. Like,
oh yeah.
Not even considering like possibly taking it, using it, or anything along those lines. No temptation whatsoever. Just immediately tries to fucking smash it with his axe.
Well, I think Gimli is the epitome of you have zero intelligence, but like you put all of your stats into like bravery.
Okay.
Or like whatever, you know, whatever the system has that has that like courage, bravery.
Courage is just under courage and willpower max.
Yeah. You put courage, willpower max, but like intelligence is one or zero. Okay. You know, right. Like he just throughout the entire, I mean, especially in the movies, not necessarily in the books, but in the movies particularly, he is just the guy that he's Leroy Jenkins. He does the Leroy Jenkins throughout the entire thing. He doesn't think everyone's just kind of like, Gimli, just give it a few minutes to figure, you know, like we'll figure this out. And he's like, fucked it.
Yeah.
Whack it with a hammer.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I just wanted to point out that I thought that was really cool.
That is very cool. Another one that I've backed is, I have to find it. It's Fire. It's based off Fire and Sword.
What the fuck is Fire and Sword?
Witch Fire and Sword is what it's called. Fire and Sword is an old Polish. It's kind of like it's like the Polish national book. It's next to The Witcher at this point.
I see.
It's like their Les Miserables or their Don Quixote or Tom Sawyer.
I believe you mean Les Miserables.
Les Miserables. Yes. It's like their national historic book. I really enjoyed it. I shouldn't say I enjoyed it. I didn't read it. I watched the movie. I really liked the movie.
I still want to find techno Viking katana wielding Aragorn Swedish Lord of the Rings though.
Oh yeah. We were talking about that one.
It looks really good.
But this is Heresy Lab. They're known for like they're really, really cool. They do a lot of 40K proxies that are really nice. But their newest one, their newest Kickstarter that they're doing is Witchfire and Sword for Citizens of the Old World. So these are like very Empire-based models. They've done four of them. This is their fourth one. Normally they release like 20 to 30 individual models that are just kind of like, hey, use these in RPGs. They look really great. They kind of fit the Warhammer world. But their newest one they did, since it's Witchfire and Sword based off Fire and Sword, is all Kislev stuff.
Oh, cool.
So you know me. I'm totally buying in.
You're a Kislev simp.
I'm a simp for the Kislev. I'm an Ice Queen simp.
Yes.
And I think it's even nicer with Warhammer, the new Total Warhammer coming out. Yes. They're really, really nice. And they have, so they did Polish models and then they did undead. So they have a bunch of zombies, but they're zombies. They have leading them kind of a proxy Kemler and Krell.
Oh, nice.
And they look fucking awesome. That one's a little more expensive. Heresy Labs is a little on the expensive side for buying their shit. I mean, I think it's for the two warbands, the Undead and the Kislev, it costs you $72. And it's not a ton of figures to get the light, and you still have to print them yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like 24 figures total for that. And if you want to get like all of the like their stretch goals, which are like add-ons, it costs you like $103. So that's
I mean, in terms of Kickstarters, that's not that bad.
No, it's not. I mean, but you have to print your own shit. That's the part. So it's
still not that bad, even in terms of Kickstarters.
I know. It's not terrible, but it's like the stuff is so high, like the prints are so high quality that it's worth picking up for that. Like they have just some of my favorite models. They have this like a Hockland long gunner for the Empire, and he's using a pig as a rifle stand. So it's like him kneeling on the ground aiming the rifle, but the rifle is balanced on a pig. And it's like that's such a fantastic, like so characterful model.
Yes, that's a very like older Warhammer aesthetic thing too. That's a Warhammer Fantasy role play model.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Like the stuff is like they have a rat catcher model that comes with the rat catcher pole, so you could totally use him as a rat catcher in Warhammer Fantasy role playing.
Nice.
They have a town guard ogre who's got a guy with no legs attached, strapped to his back.
hey, you know, he's gonna look out for you.
Yeah, I mean, like these, it really gives you like there's a
I'm a huge sucker for any Master Blaster concept.
Yes, it is totally Master Blaster. There's a there's like a fisherman that looks like he's straight out of the, I think I'm almost 100% positive that he is from the fantasy roleplay like book, but he's got like a big fish strapped to the top of his head. So he's like, he's wearing the fish as like a hood or cloak, and he's got like a peg leg and a trident and like a net that he's carrying. It's fucking fantastic.
That sounds like an actual piece of art from Whiffrip. So
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And yeah. There's a crazy cat lady who's throwing a cat, which I love. So yeah, it's like, I definitely recommend this. They have they did their last Kickstarter that they did for the Citizens of the Old World. They did a, two Mordheim warbands. They did a Bretonian one that looks more like fifth edition Bretonia as opposed to sixth edition.
Okay.
It's like a good balance between the two. So if you painted it right, it would look more sixth edition, or if you painted it the other way, it could look more fifth edition.
I mean, I do have a soft spot for all the fifth edition models. Like, yeah. I mean, there's something I like. I mean, I understand that like everyone likes the new poses and, you know, the new models are obviously great, whatever and so forth, but like, man, like a really well-painted block of like those chaos warriors that are all in the same pose, the yeah. halberds, like that's to me, that still looks very cool.
Well, and that's exactly what I say. And like, I'll talk about that in a minute. But they also have they did a Sisters warband, Sisters of Sigmar warband.
Oh, cool.
Looks really nice. So I definitely recommend them, recommend that Kickstarter.
These sound like super high-end Mordheim minis, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're worth it. I mean, if you wanted to buy like $100, you probably get, I don't know, as I say, for $103, you probably get like 40 models. I don't know, I'm not 100% sure on that one. Yeah, it's good. I think it's a good buy. The what I was gonna say is that Warhammer community had a thing where they're like, we gave these 8 professional painters the new Sigvald model, and this is what they came up with. And I'm just like, and on that post on Facebook, I was just like, you should have gave it to really 8 mediocre painters so that people could really see how this is gonna look in their army, as opposed to people who are just gonna do fucking non-metallic metals and that's it. And guess what? That's what they did. They did all non-metallic metals. And I was just like, fuck you guys. Like, I know that you're trying to get people to buy the minis so that like, oh, this is how cool it could possibly look. No one is going to paint like that. Like, yes, you'll get
generally not, no.
Yeah, because non-metallic metals take fucking forever. They don't look good unless you're photographing them from one specific position. And guess what? Every single one of these models is pictured in the same fucking position.
Yeah, like, because when you paint professionally, you paint for a picture. You don't paint for physical observation.
Yeah, exactly. And or it's like,
perhaps not physical observation. That's probably the wrong word. You paint for it to be viewed from a specific angle.
Yeah. No. And like there was, I think, one person did a kind of true metallic, and what they did was they basically just took the model and then just layered what's that called, that pink, the contrast pink over the metallics,
Vulpus pink or whatever. Yeah,
oh, here it is, I got it right on my desk. Volupus pink.
Yeah, it's Volupus, just a Volupus pink.
And I was just like, see, now that's realistic. That's the one model that actually looks like someone could paint it and do well with it. And it looks good. I like, it's not fantastic. I don't think it photographs that well, but I think it's the model itself doesn't photograph well because it's like in a very, very odd pose. So it only really photographs from one angle well.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see his ass anyway. So
yes, everyone just wants to see the assless Sigvald. And one guy did do a Vampire Counts version of it where he was just like, fuck this model, I'm going to put a vampire head on it instead. And it looks really good. But yeah, everyone.
I wonder if that's the guy who does the vampire version of everything.
Probably.
Because there's always, because I've noticed there's one, I think it's the same dude. I'm not 100%, but there's definitely 100% every time they do a new big model, I always end up seeing a vampire version of it, and they're always like the same standard of quality painting. So I bet it's that same guy, because he did an Archaean, but he didn't use the demon heads. He just used one of the undead dragon heads, and he put a fucking vampire on it, and it's a dope fucking looking model. It looks really good. And I was just like, so I assume that is the same guy.
It could be. I don't know, like, Unfortunately, let's see.
He's the spiritual successor to Rob Hawkins.
Who's dead. Sorry.
I'm sure he'll be surprised to find that information out. This is like a sick, this is a Rob Hawkins sixth sense moment right now.
He's like, what? I'm dead? No. And unfortunately, of course, they don't link the dude's probably Instagram account. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's like, who'd want to see that after seeing this guy's really cool model? Right. So maybe I'll find it, maybe not. And then the last Kickstarter that I backed, let's see if I can find it. God damn it. Now you threw me off with the discussion of Sigvald, which is my own fault, mind you.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't expect me to not mention his taut, firm buttocks when you mentioned the Sigvald miniature. Like, that's not really my fault. So, I mean, I'm glad you did acquiesce already that it was your fault, but I just want to, you know, make sure that everyone listening is clear.
Yes, you are correct. Let's see. Fuck. God damn it. Oh, here we go. I got it. It's Lunar Auxilia Files by That Evil One. He's a guy that has a Patreon. He's been doing stuff for a long time. This is basically a traitor guard force for 30K.
Okay.
His stuff just looks super cool. It's very blocky and irony kind of guard models. The tanks are okay. He's done some tanks in the past. He did the if you've seen them, the feudal guard models he has for his Patreon. So it's like a bunch of Imperial Guard models that look like they're wearing feudal kind of armor.
Nice.
Very nice looking. So he kind of did something similar for this. But what I really like about it, and it's something that I really push for Kickstarters or Patreons, is that if you're going to do a proxy army, do everything in that army.
Yes.
Like, don't just do like one pose and then move on from there to like another thing. Like, no, he's got multiple poses. He's got like every vehicle that you could want for a guard army or a traitor guard army. It's super fucking slick. Really like it.
I like it.
Yeah. So I backed it. It's not expensive either. I think it's, let me see. I think it's like $70 and you get, okay. And you get everything in there and it's a fuck ton of shit. And that's the reason why I think $70 is fine for it, because there's a fuck ton of sculpts that you're going to be getting with the army. You know, like you get planes and tanks and like walkers and, you know, everything that you could possibly want. And it's already made. Like, I think it's going to be, by the time this goes up, it'll probably be done, but it's already made like $40,000, you know, and it's out of like a $70 buy-in for everything. That's nice. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's very good. That means a lot of fucking people back that shit.
Yeah. So I just wanted to talk about, like, those are the three that I backed. I ended up, I don't remember if on the last guest, if I talked about it, I know I mentioned the Lost Kingdom miniatures that I backed. They did a Bretonnian Kickstarter. I got all the models for that one just recently, and I've been playing with them. They're much thicker than I expected them to be.
Well, that's good.
So yeah, I think that the problem that Lost Kingdom had was mostly with their with the skeletons. Like, I think the skeletons are just too thin and fiddly to really work that effectively as a printed model. So yeah. So if anybody wants to buy a Tomb King army that was fully printed, more than happy to sell you the one I printed out myself after that ringing endorsement that everything is too thin on the models.
Yeah, I think you might. I don't know. I don't know how successful this is going to be.
The stupid fucking army. Who wants to buy it?
Yeah, the stupid fucking army that keeps breaking. I hate it. Anyone want to buy it?
Anyone want to buy it? Oh man, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, and Evie's being a bitch lately about selling shit on there,
like in general, or
yeah,
what do you mean?
No, I tried to sell a model that I didn't want anymore on eBay, and it wouldn't let me put it in the right category it's supposed to go to. Like, it's got That's some weird. Sort of like bot that tells you like, no, this isn't the category you're supposed to put it into. You're supposed to put it into this category.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't really know what's going on with that. So
that is weird. I haven't sold in there in a bit, but I was going to sell some stuff.
Yeah. You can let me know.
Yeah. I'll let you know if I have an issue, I guess.
Yeah. So what's your, so you could go into your big news now.
Yes, of course. The biggest news, Warhammer 40,000 related, but it's not Warhammer 40,000 related, but it is Warhammer 40,000 related. That's right, everyone. You knew it was coming. Warhammer 40,000 Magic the Gathering cards.
The game that nobody wanted.
yeah. So what it seems like they're going to do is they're going to do Warhammer 40,000 Commander decks for Magic. So there's going to be that. And then also coming with that announcement, they announced that there's going to be a whole subset of Magic cards which are going to be called Worlds Beyond, which are going to be which is basically going to be an all-encompassing, like, this is where we put shit that's not like in Magic. So
that's
like,
not our IP. So they could do all sorts of stuff like they're doing.
Because right. They already did The Walking Dead, which I showed you a card from, and you said it looked like a Photoshop from Inquest magazine, which cracked me up. Because that's a very targeted, like, very humorous thing that, like, I really resonated with, because I had, as someone who owned literally every single issue of Inquest magazine.
Inquest magazine was a great magazine.
I loved Inquest magazine. That was like getting Inquest whenever that would show up, I would be like, fuck yeah. And like that was what I read for that's what I read when I ate cereal for like the next 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, like, I talked about Inquest because Inquest was in that same vein as Wizard magazine
and Toy Quest
and what
Toy Quest
and Toy Quest and the whatever the sci-fi one they had was,
yeah.
But it was these really nice, accessible magazines that a 12-year-old could read and understand what was going on. So if you read, you could read the article about, like, it was written for 12-year-olds, so it was super accessible. I think it was written for probably 8-year-olds, but it was super accessible to any kid reading it. So that was a good way of getting people into the hobby. Like, don't get me wrong, I love White Dwarf, but White Dwarf isn't written for 8-year-olds in mind.
No, White Dwarf is written for people who are already entrenched in the hobby. The White Dwarf does not get new people into the hobby because it's targeted. Is targeted the right word? I'm not sure.
It's very text heavy, which is a good thing for someone like me. However, if I wanted, like, let's say my son, he's infinitely too young for any wargaming right now, but let's say in a few years, when I think he might be ready, it's not something that I could just give him and then he'll be like, oh, this is cool. You know, it's too chunky. Like, right. Inquest was perfect for, like, hey, you want to learn about what Magic is or about this new Magic set? Read this article. And it's like the perfect intelligence level. But anyway, we digress.
So in addition to that, Lord of the Rings set.
Oh, yeah, Lord of the Rings set. You know, why can't they do shit like Ice Pirates?
Pirates of Darkwater?
No, Ice Pirates, the great Robert Urich movie.
I have no idea what Ice Pirates is.
Oh, you've never. Oh, my God. Go watch Ice Pirates. You'll love it. Actually, did you watch the new Valentine's Day special, Joe Bob's Valentine's Day special?
I have not. No,
he does Tammy and the T-Rex.
The uncut version or the
New uncut version that nice. They just discovered. But the director of Tammy and the T-Rex also did Ice Pirates, so he goes off on a diatribe about Ice Pirates, which is a movie that I love, mind you.
Okay,
but I would highly recommend Ice Pirates, Steve. Ice Pirates has Steve written all over it.
Ice Pirates. All right, I will. Yeah. I will investigate this this occurrence.
There's a whole entire sequence where they fight space herpes.
Like giant space herpes?
I don't want to give too much away.
that sounds pretty good.
I told you. It's got Steve written all over. It's that very early 80s Star Wars ripoff, kind of like Battle of the Planets or The Last Starfighter. Except it's like it turns the cheese up to 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm intrigued.
It's Flash Gordon. If Flash Gordon was made the way that Flash Gordon should have been made.
I like Flash Gordon though.
Flash Gordon's a slog though. Flash Gordon's like 3 hours long.
Is it really? I don't know. I
or at least it feels like it's 6 hours long.
I don't know. I last watched it when I was literally a little kid and I enjoyed it. So it couldn't have been that long because I'm sure my attention span as a child was, you know, not that great.
Flash.
Yeah, I mean, the dope soundtrack, Brian Blessed. That movie's
It's a miracle.
Yeah, so magic cards that are going to be crossed over with all sorts of weird shit. So, like, is this magic jumping the shark? I don't know. Magic's jumped the shark a bunch of times. So it could just be, like, another time magic is jumping the shark.
Yeah. Flash Gordon's 2 hours long, mind you. But it feels like...
Okay.
It's not too bad, but it definitely feels longer than it should.
Yeah, it's not too bad. But yeah, so, like, there's going to be one more 40,000 commander decks. There's another... Now, like, I don't know. It's really weird to me because like, all right, so I'm not 100% like opposed to the concept of like guest cards, because I thought the Godzilla cards were really good. I really liked how they implemented those cards, but what the Godzilla cards were is they were a skin. So what they were is there's like, it's like Godzilla King of the Monsters, but underneath that there's a small text that says like, you know, Uro the Wandering Beast. And then the game text of the card was correlated to what the card actually was. So like there was also a version of the card that did not have any Godzilla anything on it that was called Uro the Wandering Beast, and it had all the same mechanics and rules. So the Godzilla was like a premium variant of the card. But if you didn't want to use the Godzilla, like say the card's really good, but you're like, I don't really think like randomly putting Godzilla in my like elf deck would really, you know, gel well with me. So I'm just going to use the monster card instead of Godzilla. I like that idea, but this new version of it, where it's like, I mean, the Godzilla concept was new to begin with, but this is like pushing the concept of development, where the Walking Dead, like the Negan card that I showed you, like that card is literally like that effect, that card, everything about that card is only available on the specific Negan card. Like, there is no card that's like, you know, like the Lichmeister of Bada Baga, where like you get the power, the game effects of that card. It's like, no, if you want the game effects of Negan, you must use Negan from The Walking Dead. So like, I take umbrage with that, because I think it's just like, it's like, you know, if you're gonna, don't lock mechanics behind a weird IP, because like, some people do care about their deck theme. Like if people didn't exist and didn't care about their deck theme, you wouldn't have like so many people playing Commander right now, where they're just like, I'm doing a cool ass fucking skeleton deck. Everything in my fucking deck is going to be related to skeletons, you know? So I think that's the weird thing for me. So like, plus like, I mean, it'll be cool as like a standalone thing. Like if they release, you know, 5 Warhammer 40,000 commander decks, that's usually the amount of decks in the commander display. There's 5 different ones. So if they do the full 5 for 40K, like that would in itself would be probably an excellent boxed game. Like if you just buy the Warhammer 40,000 commander box and then you just like never do anything else with it other than play commander with those pre-canned decks, would probably be excellent, and it would, you know, the flavor would be perfect, because I'm sure they'll have,
that's kind of what I'm thinking when you said that. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like it'd be, I wish they would do that for fantasy. I would just buy the standalone deck, you know, in the standalone box, you know?
Right. So like, that's likely what, you know, that'll likely be great. But then if you're going to have like, you know, if they make Marnius cool guy and his fucking mechanics are broke dick busted for commander, like you're gonna have someone playing like this is my elf deck and my commander is Marnius cool guy from Warhammer 40,000.
Did you see the recent Marnius cool guy meme?
Is it the one where he's tearing off the head of a fucking gigantic corn tank by himself and just like shooting inside of it?
Yeah, from the comic.
Apparently the Marvel comics are laughable.
Yeah, they're pretty ludicrous from what I hear. But I'm like, you know what? It sold me though.
Well, it's the He-Man concept. It's like, because you know, like that's what, you know, Age of Sigmar has the appeal if you like the He-Man concept, where it's just like everything is completely over the top, totally ludicrous. Like,
yeah, exactly.
there are no rules, like that's cool. So like some people would probably like that, because like the comics are very, they read to me, well, the few panels I've seen pages, they very much felt like a mid-90s like Image comic, where it's just like, we're just gonna do cool shit with buff dudes because that's fucking rad.
Who doesn't like buff dudes? We're all dudes, we like buff dudes.
This guy's got like 30,000 pockets and belts.
Yeah, I am all about that, Steve. Yeah, all about that.
I mean, and it's fine. I don't have an issue with it. It's like, you know, that's the thing, like, you know, with fictional media, especially living fictional media, you're always going to have different variants. Cause like, you know, like there's some of the Black Library books are at the point where I would say like silly, like there's very like completely ludicrous, you know, 40K books where it's just like, it's Marnius Cool Guy ripping a fucking head off of a fucking Titan and shooting inside of it. Like there's that, but then there's also the, like, the one book that I can't remember. I really liked the book. And of course, obviously I can't remember the name, but it was a book. It was a book about guardsmen fighting orcs. I think it might've been on Armageddon. I don't know, but it was literally written from the perspective of a guardsman. And it was very like, it felt very much like a real like war journal. There was nothing objectively heroic about it, because he was just a regular dude. So like it was like him describing like the conflicts with the orcs, and like he made the orcs sound terrifying, because like, you know, when you think of orcs, like you think of like, like humorous, like orcs are funny, but like written from the perspective of this guardsman, it's just like, God, orcs sound terrible. Like they sound like the last thing in the fucking world you'd ever want to like come anywhere near.
Yeah, I haven't read too many guard books from 40K. I read a lot of the fantasy books, I read a lot of Space Marine books. But the problem is that whenever a guard unit shows up in a Space Marine book or a guard character, they die. Like they will die at the end of the book. Like, yeah, so don't get attached to any guard character unless he's written by Dan Abnett. And then sometimes that guard character will be like, this Dan Abnett's like, this will be the new character that I thread throughout 30 new books. And that's so it'll be like, you know, Stan Dabnett is the name of the character.
Stan Dabnett. That's great.
Yeah. Yes. Dan Abnett is the king of Mary Sue's. So let's just
My favorite concept in that, not quite Mary Sue-ish or Gary Stewish or however you want to say it, but my favorite concept about that is the way orcs operate, the way orcs exist in like the 40K universe, where Commissar Yarik, like I just learned this recently. I was reading, someone was talking about how cool Commissar Yarik is as a character. And I was like, yeah, he's the dude who fights fucking Gazgul. And like, I mean, that's dope. And like, he's got an orc power claw and his laser eye is called the Baleful Eye. But, the like long and short of this, like, I was a pretty fucking detailed like explanation about Yarik, but like the long and short is because of the orcs' psychic like thing, their like hive mind thing they have, that like passive psychic thing that warps reality, Commissar Yarik is theorized to be invincible.
Yep.
Because the orcs super respect and understand that Commissar Yarik is a badass, and because they think he's a badass, they basically can't kill him.
Yep.
Because they're like killing Commissar Yarik's impossible. Like he's too strong. So like he's actually more busted because of the orcs, which fucking cracks me up. Because yep. The orcs know that he's dead hard. They're like, yeah, he's the most dead hard human who ever lived. So it's just like he actually becomes the most dead hard human who ever lived because all of the orcs believe it.
Well, and that's like part of like the whole thing of like why do certain things exist? Like why is the Imperium so successful? It's because the orcs believe that the Imperium are a very good enemy to fight. So that's why the Imperium is able to expand the way that it does, is because the orcs believe that the Imperium should expand the way that it does.
Right. And, which is also why I believe the same reason why orcs can't be warped by chaos, because they don't believe in that shit.
Yeah, they don't believe in that shit. They believe in Mork and Gork.
Yeah, they're like Mork and Gork are here. The Chaos Gods are someone to fight. They're not something. They're not something that can affect us.
Well, yeah, and that's like part of the thing. Like part of like Yarik as well as like his. No one should like an orc claw should not work for him, because orc mechanics don't work. Don't work for humans. We don't believe that they work. But because the orcs believe that he's such a badass and he's like, he's like worthy enough to fight orcs. That's why his big fucking claw works the way that it does.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the only possible way that he could be defeated is maybe by Gazgul, but even then they're just like Gazgul's just gonna fight him and neither are gonna. I think the orc mentality on that is Gazgul and Yarik are of equal strength. So in theory, I believe the orc psychic wave thing is going to just essentially keep Gazgul and Yarik in a perpetual stalemate until the end of time, because the orcs believe that they are as strong as one another. So neither one will ever be able to actually win.
Yeah, I think wasn't there something where Gazgul just got killed though? Like, didn't they just kill off Gazgul?
He got better.
No, but I thought that they killed him. Some space wolf kill him or something like that?
Not that I'm aware of, but I would be lying very, very much if I said that I was, you know, the most up to date on 40K lore.
Yeah, I don't pay too much attention, at least to the current 40K storyline. I do, but I don't. But I just like
reading up bits of like certain things, because like there's honestly, like, straight up there's just too much. Like I got mad respect for anyone who's like a huge 40K like lore fiend who just like knows all that shit, because like fucking A, man, like the amount of depth makes Lord of the Rings look accessible.
Well, and that's part of the thing too that I really like, is that, you know, it's 40K lore, like they openly discuss like why certain lore conflicts with other lore. And it's because like you're telling stories that exist over thousands of years, and not just like the 10,000 years of 30K to 40K, but within within 40K, it's like they've gone through the last 2,000 years, and a lot happens and stories are told in the 2,000 years that some are like, you know, it gets lost in translation.
And then also I think they've mentioned too that like it's just like it can be faulty after action reports as well.
Yeah.
Where it's like the guard just like they report like this is what happened in the battle, and it's just like they're just wrong. Cause like that actually does happen. Like there's historical inaccuracies left and right in our history for things that happened like 200 years ago. Yeah. So
let's go 20 years ago.
This historical accuracies that happened 5 years ago.
Yeah. Like you could go to like Vietnam, and trust me, there were guys who came back from Vietnam and told us things that were not actually the way that they happened. But what I do recommend though is, if you do want to get into like the lore aspect of it, Reddit's 40K lore, our 40K lore, is really, really, really good. Like it's like the least toxic 40K community I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's heavily moderated.
Yes. Which is really good. And so like there's people who like, you know, post about lore and like specific passages from books, and it's like a really fun literary discussion about really bad science fiction books.
Yes, absolutely. So
it's really fun. I like that one a lot. And Grimdank, which is their memery page, it's pretty good as well. It's not great, it's pretty good.
Rest assured I believe that I am a connoisseur, and I bring you the best content from that subreddit automatically.
I was going to say
Classy Facebook page,
and Game Classy generally will repost most better memes from from that page. So yes. You know, we Steve and I also follow some of the more left-wing anarchist meme pages as well from 40K for fantasy.
There's an Age of Sigmar one it's fucking like it's Age of Marxism or something.
Sigmarxism.
Yes, that one's fucking hilarious.
Yes. But that's some of the stuff that we follow there. We don't have that much time, but we could talk a little bit about just some of the.
Oh, I forgot to ask. Are you buying the Lord of the Rings magic set?
No, I'm not buying the Lord of the Rings magic set.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
But what if there's a dope box set that's got a bunch of the cards in it?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not really like for Lord of the Rings stuff that I collect a lot of the literary stuff. I don't really like collecting a lot of the games.
I see.
Like, so what I did was a while ago, probably like 5 or 6 years ago, I really decided on like, if I'm going to collect this, like if I'm going to collect something from Lord of the Rings, what am I going to collect? If I'm going to collect something from, like, if I'm going to do a minis game, what am I going to collect? And basically, you know, I pared it down very much tight to a tight, like, this is the only thing I'm going to get. Like, I've kind of decided that I am a Games Workshop weeaboo in a lot of ways, or at least a fantasy weeaboo, or not weeaboo, Stan. Let's say a Stan. I'm a fantasy Stan. Yes. So, like, I'm going to collect Games Workshop Warhammer Fantasy stuff. Like, occasionally I'll do Age of Sigmar stuff because, you know, like, I like Underworlds. Underworlds technically falls under Age of Sigmar.
Correct.
You know, but I'm not going to go too crazy into, like, 40K or 30K. Like, 30K stuff that I play is all 3D printed. Like, I don't buy any 30K stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Because I don't have the space and I don't have the time for it. For, like, role-playing stuff, you know, I'm mostly going to do AD&D second. Like, yeah, fifth edition is great, but it's second edition, I think, is my thing. Like, I like the style. I like the gameplay. I like all of that stuff a lot better. It's all self-contained at this point. Nothing new for second edition.
Right.
So, like, Lord of the Rings, like, I don't do a lot of the games and stuff for it because it's, like, I like the books more than anything. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I did want to talk about some of the new releases that they previewed last weekend for Games Workshop. You know, we like to go over, like, when they do their big release. We should do a live, like, reaction to that sometime.
Well, I mean, there's that one app I was talking about where you can actually have live commentary while you're recording your cast too.
Yeah. Let me see. That was last week, and I have to find it. Okay. Lords of the Mortal Realms. I thought for sure they were going to release the Vampire Count Army. They are not doing a Vampire Count Army yet because the new big release is Curse City for Warhammer Quest, which is so fucking good.
It's Darkest Dungeon via Games Workshop.
Yeah, but the models are way better than Darkest Dungeon.
I mean, Darkest Dungeon is a video game.
Well, isn't that didn't they do a Kickstarter for, like, a game, or is it like?
That is true. They did a Kickstarter for the game. I will argue that the models in Darkest Dungeon, the board game, are perfect, because they 100% look exactly like the two-dimensional artwork from the video game. So I will say that. But they do not look realistic in any capacity.
Yeah.
So I would, for me, it would be very difficult to compare the Cursed City models to the Darkest Dungeon models, because whereas I would say, in terms of, like, if I'm talking generic fantasy model, obviously the Cursed City models crush them because the Cursed City models are incredible. Like, they're so good.
Yeah.
However, in representing what they are meant to be, the Darkest Dungeon models are flawless. Like, they look exactly the way they're supposed to. So
yeah, it's kind of one of those things. I'll agree on that one. No,
but yes, the Cursed City models are fucking great.
They're like, the hero models are so fucking good. Like, not only do you get, like, some classic Empire style models, which are awesome looking, but, like, a classic looking ogre and the wood elf looks so fucking good.
Yes. They look awesome.
And the villains, like, or whatever they're calling them. Like the mobs. The zombies who have the stakes driven through their heart, so they're carrying the ground, like the coffin lid, because the stakes were driven through the coffin lid.
Yes,
it's so fucking good, Steve. Like, yes, I would buy boxes of these guys to have as zombie regiments for my fucking. The only models that I think are clunkers throughout the entire thing are the, like, undead Kislevite ogres. I think that it might be the paint job, but I'm just not a big fan of how those models are posed. The skeletons are fucking bonkers good.
Yeah, they're great.
And the villains, like, the fucking, he is a vampire Kislev ogre. Like,
yes, awesome.
An A, and
yes,
like,
awesome.
I'm pre-ordering the box. I already told Young Giuseppe over at Grognard's. I am, when that comes out, I will pre-order from you guys. I will take care of it right there. Like,
yes,
like, that is. And I was talking with Giuseppe too about it. I think I convinced him that Age of Sigmar third edition is coming out very, very soon.
Oh, because of the Marathi book and stuff.
Yeah, he's on board with it.
It seems likely.
We were talking about what would be the core units in there, and it's kind of difficult because I don't think that they would do witch elves, even though I think Morathi is going to be the main.
No, they'll do. I think they'll do witch elves. I 100% think they'll, cause they just did a, they just updated the witch elves book, and the only new models they did were their endless spells. I 100% think that they're going to do witch elf models in the starter.
Yeah. Normally they do, like they'll do a new faction though. Like they'll do a new faction versus
I think that the box set is going to be witch elves versus Slaanesh mortals.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
That's what I think the box set's going to be, because it's the two newest releases. They have the opportunity for the newest stuff. I believe that is going to be the case. It's going to be witch elves versus Slaanesh mortals.
You could be very, very much right on that one. I do. The Slaanesh mortals, I really love that army. I've actually gone back and busted open my old Juan Diaz demonettes and started putting together a 6th edition Storm of Chaos Slaanesh demon army.
They are awesome.
Just because I wanted to paint something in that style. I did the Dread Pageant warband from the Underworld's newest box set. Mm-hmm. Really loved painting those models. Had a fun time painting them. So that's why I was like, I'm going to get my old Juan Diaz models out. My $3,000 worth of Juan Diaz models. No, really, I looked it up. I have 36 demonettes. And I think 10 of them go for like $100 minimum on eBay.
There's absolutely no way in any shape or form I would ever hold those models. I would sell them immediately.
I know you would. And I have, I think I had 18 riders, and if 5 of them go for like $100 minimum.
Right.
Yeah, I have,
I got a dip.
Okay. So anyway, go to Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. You can like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes, like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. You could follow me on the Instagram. I am Game Classy Joe. You could follow Steve on Pornhub. He goes under the name Trump Lover 69.
No, it's 420 Rimjob Steve 69.
Yeah, what? All right. So Steve, until next time.
Warhammer 40,000 Commander decks. I'm still in shock.
Later.
Later.
Game Classy.